الحمد لله الحمد لله كفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد فلما أسلما وتله للجبين وناديناه أن يا إبراهيم قد صدقت الرؤيا إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and brothers in Islam, from the last Eid, Eid al-Fitr, first of Shawwal, we have entered into the month of Hajj, that is Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and Dhul-Hijjah. Many lessons to be discussed and to remind ourselves about, even if we've heard these type of advices 120 times, then too, reminders are very much beneficial for all of us. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The instruction is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Pyari Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is وَذَكِّرْ. Continuously remind, now and in future. فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Most certainly, reminders are beneficial to those who have iman, the mu'mineen, the Muslims. These are all reminders for one and all, especially for the speaker, and for those who haven't heard it before also, that we take lessons from these continuous, repeated events that we come across. Ramadan, we finished Ramadan just more than a month ago. What lessons for us to learn from there? Again now, with Hajj and Qurbani, repeatedly remind ourselves of these lessons. What lesson and lessons we can derive and remind ourselves about from these repeated occurrences? There are many. In this limited time, we'll try to discuss maybe two or maybe three, depending on the time. The first being this very important lesson, which is of submission. Submission, to be submissive to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our Pyari Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned. Whether we like it, whether we don't like it, whether it conforms to our logic or not, whether it is something that's in keeping to our logic and understanding, or we take it to be in conformity to our environmental practice, whatever the circumstances be. That was the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They had this special quality of that submission to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said and Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is a long ayat where Allah ta'ala says that when the sahaba, those who had iman, when Allah ta'ala's instructions was regarding certain matter, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's instruction, they were told to do certain things. What they used to say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear, we obey. Ulama mention, وَافَقَتْ هَوَاهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُوَافِقْهَا وَاتَّفَقَتْ مَعَ عَادَاتِهِمْ أَوْ لَمْ تَتَّفِقْ. Whether it was in conformity to their whims and fancies and desires, whether it in their mind was in pursuant, congruent, in keeping to their logic, their understanding. Respected brothers in Islam, we find very commonly today, many people will not accept certain ruling, certain law of Quran Sharif, of Hadith. All these laws are divine laws. Wahi, revelation from Allah Ta'ala said. It's not something that we have a choice in. When it comes to our marriages, our businesses, when it comes to our divorce, when it comes to inheritance, estates, distributions, partnerships, every facet, every walk of life, all have to be such that our actions are in conformity to whatever Allah Ta'ala said, Pyare Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned. Whether we understand, don't understand, whether we like, whether we don't like, whether we feel, it's not conducive to the so-called inverted commas modern times. The times of technology, the times of advancement. We say that these laws, many people have said, Allah protect us, astaghfirullah, they say these are for the camel ages. Look at Hajj and look at Udhiyah and Qurbani. This lesson of submission is repeatedly avowed and seen in every part of it. Let us look at the story that we heard, as I said, 120 times, of Ibrahim alayhi salam instructed to slaughter his son Ismail alayhi salam. Soon as the instruction was given by Allah Ta'ala to the father, what did he say? He spoke to his son. They had a discussion. The son said, Ya abatif al ma tu'mar. Oh my father, do. Go ahead. Instruct. Go. Proceed with whatever Allah Ta'ala has instructed you. In reality, if a person has to really ponder, he will really understand this to be murder. Where can a father take a knife, place it on his son's neck, and slaughter the son, and that's murder, logically? But no questions were asked by the father, neither by the son. They went ahead to do what they had to do. Story is very long. Lot of details to the story, lot of other aspects. But whatever Allah Ta'ala then did after that is different. Great lesson for all of us. Whether it's my marriage, whether it's my divorce, whether it's my business dealings, whether it's my inheritance and will, every facet, every walk of life, every aspect. Do not ask questions to Allah Ta'ala in terms of His wisdom and His reasons for giving us these instructions. La yus'alu amma yaf'al. Whatever Allah Ta'ala does, whatever instructions He's given, He cannot be questioned. Hakim, Hakim, Ahkamul Hakimin. Full of wisdom. He's the one that makes the decision and the most best and wise in his decisions. Many things may not seem conducive to our logic and understanding. Very common when it comes to the aspect of divorce. Pyare Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that when a person gives talaq and divorces his wife, Allah Ta'ala's throne shakes, yahtazzu minhu arshur rahman wa kama qal, that the arsh and the throne of Allah Ta'ala, who's the most merciful, Rahman, His throne shakes through that. Questions are then asked, why this, why that, why not this, why not that? Can we convert the three into one? And can we make some plan? And so many questions are then asked, which is so common today, brothers. Scourge of the community. And become something that the person then says, comes out with his own logic. Maulana Sahab, Mufti Sahab, Imam Sahab. I was angry at that time. I couldn't control myself and I divorced my wife. Now, I'm now sober. I'm now relaxed. What do I now do? Can I take it back? Brother, the bullet, you pull the trigger, it's done. Which person divorces his wife when he's happy? No person. It's gonna naturally be when you're angry, when you're agitated, which is something inherent and natural for a human to become angry. But the true human, true insan, true Muslim, is where يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْرِ, where we control that anger. We control that anger. And we make it such that we suppress those feelings and that anger. So then question were then asked, what can we do? How can we sort it out? When it comes to the aspect of, let us take another example of inheritance. Why? Questions are then asked that why must the female get half the share from male? لِذَّكَرِي مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif that the male will get a double share of the female. Questions are then asked why? Logic is then being used. Why must the wife get 1/8 and 1/4? Different circumstances. How many times do you find people will tell us that why must the father and mother inherit in the estate? What they did for the deceased, astaghfirullah. Question should be what they never do. And constantly we find this question is posed, that we did all the work, the children, the siblings, somebody else, we did all the work. This is how he flourished or how she flourished. And this is the empire and whatever the person has is because of our effort. What the father and mother did, why must they get from the inheritance from the estate? Astaghfirullah. Again, submission. Allah Ta'ala has fixed their shares. The father gets a certain share, the mother gets a certain share. The will has to be made up Islamically correctly. Distribution must be done, must be expedited quickly, as soon as possible. Many other laws to that. Time and again we repeat these types of advices for the benefit of whoever else is listening. May have heard it before, but it's to the benefit of ourselves and let others also. So again, the question of submission. When it comes to, let us look at Hajj. أَفْعَالٌ مَخْصُوصَ فِي زَمَانٍ مَخْصُوصٍ فِي مَكَانٍ مَخْصُوصٍ. The fuqaha, the jurists, some of them have defined, depicted, given the definition and description of Hajj to be specific actions at a specific time, at a specific place. Hajj cannot be carried out anytime, at any place, in any system, in any method, besides how we're supposed to do it. Then questions are asked, why this and why that? This is the way Allah Ta'ala has ordained it. Pyare Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we say we is lovers, we is followers, we is ummatis, we want his intercession. We want him to take us into Jannat. We want to be with him. We want that drink from Hawz al-Kawthar, from that pond of Kawthar. Inna a'atainaka al-Kawthar. But if we do not follow his sunnat and his ways and his explanations and what he told us to do, his lifestyle, what do we then expect after that? So again, submission. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned it. Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained it by way of practice, practically. Submission again. So this quality of submission must become something that's very much avowed, distinct, clear in our lives, in every aspect. As I said earlier, وَافَقَتْ هَوَاهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُوَافِقْهَا وَاتَّفَقَتْ مَعَ عَادَاتِهِمْ أَوْ لَمْ تَتَّفِقْ. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, whether it's something that conformed, it was congruent, pursuant, in keeping to their whims and fancies and desires, whether they felt it fits into society, in the modern times, whatever the circumstances be, they wholeheartedly accepted it. And that is why Allah Ta'ala gave them that very great lofty status. Radiallahu anhum, waradu an. Allah was pleased with them. And the second part, waradu an, they were pleased with Allah. Whatever Allah has told them to do, accepted it wholeheartedly, completely, every facet, every walk of life. When it comes to the dressing of a female, for example, another example. For what reason? That she has to dress in a certain way. Why must it be in a certain way? Why there are certain restrictions and limitations for their benefit? Again, Allah Ta'ala said it. Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned it to us. So the first lesson, very great lesson, I can continue speaking about till the end of this talk, is the aspect of submission. One incident comes to mind, great muhaddith, Mullah Ali Qari, rahimahullah, muhaddith azim, great muhaddith. In one of his books, he mentions an incident. Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned hadith to the effect that when a person is a muqtadi and he follows the imam in his namaz and salah, he is supposed to wait for the imam to go in a posture and then follow accordingly. Now if a person has to do so where he precedes the imam, he goes before the imam in his postures of namaz and salah. So there's stern warning given that he should fear that his face be changed into that of a donkey. One person heard the hadith, mocked it, ridiculed it, disdained it. How can this happen? Such a small action I'm going to be doing and my face will be changed into that of a donkey. How can it happen? He made sure he went ahead, challenged the hadith, mocked it, disdained it, ridiculed it, and he ensured that he preceded and went before the imam in his postures of namaz and salah. Allah Ta'ala to show the people of the time until Qiyamah, changed his face into that of a donkey. People saw it in the time. Mullah Ali Qari rahimahullah, great muhaddith, says that people saw it. It was very much mashhur and known about. What we learn from this hadith and this incident, that when a person will not be submissive, don't have this quality of submission in his life, and he will challenge the hadith, challenge the Quran, challenge Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah destroys, removes the barakat when there's usually an interest in the transaction and in the earnings of a person. Like that, so many other warnings given, so many aspects of our life, the person then challenges it. What does he then expect? Allah Ta'ala definitely will some way make that punishment of his or that stern warning of his avowed in his life, in this world too, and definitely thereafter when the person passes away. Again, submission. The hadith is clear on a certain matter. The Quran Sharif is clear on certain matter. Certain explanations given. Do not challenge it. Do not mock it. Another incident comes to mind. Allah Ta'ala says in the end of Surah Al-Mulk, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Allah Ta'ala says that it had this water to show us the value and appreciation of water. This great ni'mat and benefaction and gift from Allah Ta'ala's side. So Allah Ta'ala says that had this water become such that it's sunken into the ground, who will be able then to bring you flowing water? Enough flowing good water. Who will be able to do that? So the whole purpose of this verse, by way of meaning, ma'na and mafhum and understanding, is that to explain to us, to make us appreciate this great gift of water that's from under the ground. We know where the water then reaches and how it reaches us here in our taps. One person heard this verse. Allama Mahalli, rahimahullah, in Tafsir Jalalin mentions, قَالَ بَعْضُ الْجَبَابِرَ تَأْتِي بِالْفُؤْسُ وَالْمَعَاوِلِ. One person, proud, arrogant person, heard this ayat of the Quran Sharif, and he mentioned that Allah Ta'ala doesn't bring you water, I'll show. I'll bring it. I'll do it. Let me use my instruments of that time, whether it be the shovels, the picks, etc., and we'll dig up and we'll bring the water out. Allah doesn't do, I do. Challenge Allah. Again, not being humble, not accepting Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat and gift, that quality of submission and humility, not being in him. And he went ahead to do so. Allama Mahali rahimahullah in Tafsir Jalain says, ذَهَبَ مَا عَيْنِهِ. Allah Ta'ala punished him that the water of his eye disappeared. That now bring the water back. You wanted to bring the water from underground. The water of your eye disappeared. What are you going to do now? What can you do? What will you do? What you'll be able to do? Again, he was proud, not being submissive, not being humble, not accepting this ni'mat and great gift of Allah Ta'ala. So this very important point and lesson for all of us. Submission. Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. When father and son accepted whatever the law of Allah Ta'ala was. وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam lured his son to then slaughter him. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتُ الرُّؤْيَا إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَزِّلْ مُحْسِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala then says, now you passed the test. What dream you were shown, you fulfilled according to what you could do. The balance is to us. Very important lesson for all of us about this quality of submission in every aspect, every facet and walk of life. Second being, to conclude on, is the aspect of that when we are taking that knife, placing an animal. Supposedly in our mind, metaphorically, supposedly in our minds, that we are placing that knife on our evil passions and desires. 120 times we've heard these lessons. It is a reminder to all of us that the eye will desire to commit zina of the eyes. Zina al-aynini al-nazr. That the eye, zina of the eyes is to look to that which is incorrect to look at. Same with the ears, tongue, hands, feet, body, and whatever else it be. But then evil passions and desires, sacrifice it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give all of us tawfiq and hidayat, that these great qualities that we learn repeatedly and we are reminded about, whether it be of submission, whether it be of sacrificing our evil passions and desires, and whatever else we are reminded about on a weekly basis, Allah Ta'ala give all of us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal.